Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Samach Gimel, and we start right at the top of the daf with the Halakha Mishnah. And so we're up to now the differences between the Machavat and the Marcheshet. So let's discuss what exactly the Minchas Machavat is and how it relates to these similar Minchas Marcheshes. Both of them are fried. So what's the difference between them? Ha'omer Hari Alay Machavat. So he's makabel on himself to bring a machavat. Now the question is, does that mean he says ba machavat, I'm going to bring it in a machavat? Then he can't bring it in if it was made in a marcheshet. If he says b'marcheshet, then he can't bring it in a machavat. Each one of these is a very specifically different preparation, as we're going to see. And this is even b'di avad. It's not kosher. If you would bring it, it needs to be specific. So ma bein machavat marcheshet. So here we have a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the difference is essentially whether during the frying it's covered. If it's covered, so then, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's a marcheshes. If it's uncovered, then it's a machavat. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Leimer, no, it's a completely different depth of oil in the frying. And actually, the marcheshet is a deep fry, and because of that, it comes out soft, full of oil. So when you touch it, even a light touch, it seems to move about because it has so much soft oil in it. Mashenkein, when it comes to the machavat is a griddle, and a griddle comes out hard, like a pancake. So machavat safa, so it's a very thin and shallow kind of container, umaaseh akashim, and therefore what comes out is hard. So where does Rabbi Yossi get the idea that the concept has to do with covering it up? I mean, I never heard that that's the definition of the container. My time into Rabbi Yossi. Is it because he holds that the word marcheshet relates to the concept of arhushe halev? Arhushe halev means the type of things that are deep down in your heart you don't want anybody to know about. Maybe that, what do they call those intrusive thoughts, you know, where maybe it might be a good idea to eat the baby or something like that, right? So a modest proposal. So then the idea would be like rachash libi davar tov. So you can have good thoughts too, you know? And then they're not the kind of thing that you want to necessarily expose to others. But when we're bringing a carbon, we assume maybe there's some nasty thoughts that you want to bring the carbon for. But in any event, that's why we say Arhushe Halev in that sense. But of course, it doesn't have to be bad. It could be Dover Tov. Whereas the Machavat, the word Machavat comes from to be Chavui, to be actually Machavat Asya Amarbui Hape. So it means these are things that comes from barking. We know that we call it dogs barking, Minabech Nabuche. So that would be a bringing something, maybe because you said something not right, you spoke Lashon Hara. So it would be, again, we're looking for like what would be the drive for the person to feel that he needs this kapora. So then it would be open, and kidamri yimshe, have a merachashan sifthuthe. So people use the word merachashan for the moving of lips, like we talk about someone whose words of Torah are remembered when he's dead, and it says merachashan ruchushe sifthuthe in the kever. Okay, so it's not clear the idea over here of what exactly could be. It could be either way, because if you're going to tell me that it's all in terms of what it's coming for, so it might mean the machavat would be actually something that would be something in the heart, and that is not something that you exposed. And a machavat would be something that you said, and therefore it would be open. I could say the opposite. I could say machavat comes from the word chavui, so that means it's being brought on that which is hidden. It's hidden deep in your heart. So it's chavui. And we know that the Torah uses the word that way because Lavan says to Yaakov, Lama nachbeta livroach. So why did you hide out and escape? You could have gone out and we could have done things, you know, with an orchestra. It would have been lovely. Anyway, but meanwhile, we see the Lashon of chavui is to be hidden. And on the other hand, we could say Mar Cheshet, as I skipped before, unfortunately, that you move, it's something that people do see. Your lips are moving. So again, it could mean the opposite. How could Rabbi Yossi, therefore, say, clearly, it means the way I'm saying it. Rabbi Yossi clearly claims, I know that a machavat is open and the marcheshet is closed when the words don't necessarily mean that. So it must be that Rabbi Yossi just was mekabelis from his Rebbe, Gemara Gemirila, that the Marcheshet is in fact has a cover and a Machabah doesn't. So it's just a question of how it is that we understand the words is still true, because the question is which direction. That was a Kabbalah. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, I mean, that the Marcheshet is something that is a deep fry. Because what is the Lashon? Take a look carefully at the way the Torah describes the two korbanos. When it talks about the Minchas Marcheshes, it says, V'chol na'asa v'marcheshet, things that are made inside of the Marcheshet. Masha Inkin, when it talks about the Machavat, it talks about things that are made al ha-Machavat. So therefore, the simple the preposition that we use, whether it's in or whether it's on, well, that makes all the difference in the world. If it's in, so then it's something that actually is done inside, which means that it's going to be deep. If it's on, it means that it's on a griddle, which means that it's going to be hard. So it's just a function of the way that it appears in the pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, Beit Shammai Omrim. Beit Shammai says, you know, it's very difficult to understand what a person means. Let's say a guy does not say Minchat Marcheshet. A guy does not say Bamarcheshet. A guy just says, Hare alai marcheshet. So then, I don't know what he means. Ye munach achi avor Elio. We'll have to wait until Elio Anovi comes along and explains to us what the neder was. Why is that? Because Beit Shammai is misupak. Whether the menaches of marcheshet and machavad are al shum kli nikru'u or al shum ma'asehem. So basically, is it the mincha that's a marcheshet, or is it a mincha that is made in a marcheshet? Is it a minchas machavat, or is it a mincha that is made in a machavat? That's the question. And therefore, what would the difference be? If it's a machavat, so then, okay, if a guy says, Hare alai machavat, or Hare alai marcheshet, then that would be the name of the mincha. But if the actual meaning of it has nothing to do with the name of the mincha, it has to do with how it is that I'm supposed to make the mincha, so then I don't really know whether the guy actually was making a neder to bring a kli, a machavat or a marcheshet, because there's no such mincha possibly as a marcheshet or a machavat. There's a mincha that's made by machavat. Beit Hillel Omrim, kli haya b'migdash u'marcheshet shema. There was actually a kli that was called a marcheshet, which is dome, kimin kalabus amok. It was similar to a kalabos. A kalabos is a pan that has these little indentations, or it may be that the actual wall of the pan goes in and out, forming little holes that you can make, sort of like a waffle maker. So that was the marcheshet, and it was the batzek would be munach betocho. When you would put dough in this thing, it would be similar to the tapuchei haberotim, which is a type of fruit. I don't know. I've seen these things, and I can't remember what it is. Has any of you seen lying on the ground, like what appears to be literally like that picture in the Gemara, that they have that little picture with the round things? I mean, it's a very simple picture, but it looks like a almost wooden type of thing, and there's like little holes in it that held the seeds of something. Or am I creating this? Does it ring a bell? I guess not. Oh well, maybe it was one of my visits with the anthropologist on Mars might have taken me around. Okay, so I really don't know then. If it's not that, I don't know what exactly Tapuchea Beirotim are. Ukamim Beilutei Hayivanim. So this would be like a particular type of oak. Maybe that's what it was that I saw. I wonder. I should have looked it up on the internet, see whether there is that thing. But anyway, so the Greek oak would have actually acorn shape like that. So maybe that's what I saw. Ve'omer v'chol na'aseh v'amar cheshet ve'al ma'chavat. So since the Torah uses the word in terms of a kli, and there actually was a kli with that name in the Beis HaMikdash, it's quite clear that these are words that refer to the kelim. Alma al shum ha-kelim mikro'u, v'lo al shum ma'aseihem. And that means that we would essentially, if somebody actually says, I will bring a machavat, he does not mean a minchas machavat. He means a machavat. And he would have to actually bring the kli and not the mincha. He has to say minchat machavat or ba machavat. And now we're up to our very own Sir Richard. Rum, bum, 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 bum.
And the drink.
Have some Greek oak, Rich.
Greek oak. Zok the
Let's move on to the Minchas Ma'afei Tanur. So remember, we've discussed this machlokas before. We finally get to the place where we have the question of whether the Minchas Ma'afei Tanur is one carbon that has variations, or are there two separate minachot ma'afei tanur, one of which is called chalot and one of which is called rikikin. And remember, the nafkamina was, according to Rabbi Shimon, whether you can mix or not. And therefore, we said also, according to Rabbi Shimon, that would mean that there would be either 11 or only 9 basic minachot, because what we call two, chalot v'rikikin, would actually only be one. Or since he holds you can mix the chalot and rikikin, there would be a third type of mincha, which is partially chalot and rikikin. I don't really personally like that pshat too much, but Rashi brings that as an alternative. So let's, here's the Mishnah that finally gets to this question. Hare alai batanur. So I'm a kabbalah on myself to bring a mincha of something that was baked. Now, if you're being a kabbalah on yourself, the baking, and you actually, whatever it was, whether it was, the choice ends up being your chalot or a kikin, but it does have to be in the tanur. You cannot bring it if it's baked in some other kli. So let's say you have it baking on top of the fire, which is like a kupach. You can't bring that. That's not called baking. And you can't bring something that was baked on these heated tiles, which were ways in which people would bake things, and people still do. People who don't have ovens have these pots that they'll use and heat on top of the oven, on top of the stove, and they use that as an oven. The famous Israeli Seer Pella, that used to be the way most people baked, and they couldn't afford ovens. So that would be baking on top. And you can't use a ma'afe yorota arviim, which is basically a Seer Pella. It's the way the Arabs use these big pots to heat. Reb Yehuda Aimer, you could, if you want, bring a ma'afe kupach that is actually baked on top. Reb Yehuda holds, as we'll see from the pasuk, that it is also called an oven. Harei alai minchat ma'afe, lo yavi mechtza chalot u mechtza rikikin. You do have your choice of whether you need to bring chalot or rikikin, but you cannot bring partially because they're two different korbanos, and therefore you weren't yotze either. But Rabbi Shimon is matir mipnei shu korban echad. So as we saw earlier, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's only one carbon mafet tanur, and it has your choice of chalot and rekikin, or mixed chalot and rekikin. Tanur Rabbanan. In the posik, the lashon of the posik is v'chi takriv korban mincha mafet tanur. That means, since the Torah could have said mafet, instead it specifies baked in an oven, which sounds a little bit redundant until you realize that there's all these other ways of baking, and therefore it must mean specifically mafe tanur velo mafe kupach velo mafe re'afim velo mafe yorot ha'arviim. Rabbi Yehuda, amen? Tanur shnei ba'amim. Actually, why does it say twice tanur? Because it's gufa coming to v'chi takriv korban mincha ma'afei tanur v'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur, which is said later on in Tzav. So it uses the word tanur in both parshias, both in the introduction where it's listing the basic minachos that are the nedaves, and then in the Zot Torah HaMincha, it repeats again, Asher Te'afe Batanur, which was certainly unnecessary since it was introduced initially, Korban Mincha Ma'afe Tanur. So why does it say Tanur twice, Tainas Rebbe Yehuda? To expand the envelope a bit, and that would be to extend the Tanur into something that is on the Kupach. And in fact, you know, people have ovens, and they have on top of the oven, they have their stove, and very often it comes together. And therefore, it's including even that type of baking. But I would certainly agree, it doesn't include things like heated tiles, that not. But kupach, yes. Rabbi Shimon, amen. The Tanur is not coming to tell me that you can include Ma'afei Kupach. It's coming to tell me, A, Shetei Afiyatan B'Tanur. They have to actually be baked, as we said before, only in a Tanur. And the other is that Shetei Hegdeshan B'Tanur. So I say Tanur means only Tanur. The second Tanur is to tell me that you have to be, when you first are given Kedushas Haguf, the Kedushas Haguf comes from Tanur Mikadesh. All right, so remember we've had that question earlier, a number of times. Is the Tanur itself considered to be the Makor of the Kedusha, which would mean that it has itself a din of a klishares? So then, normally, a mincha, we know, is put into the Bisa, and the Bisa is the klishares. But we were discussing before, when we were talking about the Lechem HaPanim, at what point would the Lechem HaPanim get actual Kedushas HaGuf? And that involved the Shaila of whether it was putting them on the Shulchan or whether they already received Kedushas HaGuf at the time that they were being baked in the Tanur. So Rabbi Shimon says this Guf is the limud of the Pasuk, that the actual Kedusha is from the Tanur itself because the Tanur is Mekadesh. Huh? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Tanur as Mekadesh. Mi isle le Rabbi Shimon ha'isvara, but doesn't it say beferish in the Mishnah itself that we have later on in this Masechet? Rabbi Shimon omer la'olam haviragil omar, you should always remember and always explain that the shtei alechem and the lechem hapanim actually are kosher no matter where it is that you prepare them. You could prepare them in the Azora, or you could prepare them even in Beit Pagi. And remember that Beit Pagi is outside of the Mokum Kodesh. So if that's the sense, then apparently they don't necessarily have to be a Mekudesh at that point. If you're telling me I don't have to be inside of the Azora, so apparently it's not going to be Mekadesh then if I bake them there. Because if it would, then they would be immediately become pasul biyotze. So it would be a little bit ridiculous to bake something in an oven that gives the kedushas haguf, which then the moment that I put it in the oven, I pasul it. So how can Rabbi Shimon possibly say such a thing? That the meaning of the pasuk is to bake it in the tanur in order to give it kedushas haguf. I mean, that's absurd. Oh, my Rava, rather, the way to understand it is not that you should physically put it in the tanur. It means, shiyeh hegdeshan L'shem tanur, it means that if you are saying, I want this to be kodesh for a mincha, he should say it at the time that he wants it bedafka, that it should be inside of a tanur. That's what he's learning is the meaning. So that your original intent in the kedusha, which gives it the neder that you're making, should mention beferish that you want it to be mekudash in order to be baked inside of a tanur. And that's why the Torah specifies, again, for no particular reason, ma'fe, this is when you are coming to be makriv, minchas ma'fe tanur, your mind should be that this is a ma'fe tanur. Note, by the way, Rabbi Shimon's language, la'olam avi rogel lomar. Why should you be la'olam avi rogel lomar? This is what I rely on, Rabbi Sai, for repeating things a million times until they finally become your second nature. Just get used to saying it anytime you mention it. Okay, Mishnah continued. And so on and so forth. And then we have our machlokas. No, you could even bring mechza. So look at the brayta, which gets into the argument between Rabbi Shimon here and the other shitas. Since it says, v'chi takriv. So we talked about the lashon of v'chi takriv, and then we analyzed the rest of the pasuk. We didn't talk about the meaning of the words v'chi takriv. Now, v'chi takriv, by definition, means if it comes your way to do such a thing, which means that we are talking about specifically a carbon that you can never be mechayev. It's only a person who commits himself to do it. It's up to you. So that's the introduction to a carbon that is a nedava. And there, obviously, nedava can be brought as a neder to make that nedava, but it means that we are introducing the menachos that are brought as nedavos. And therefore, when we get to ma'afet tanur, it's another one of the nedavos. So kishetakriva sotvar shut. You want to do something that is your own act of a gift. Kurban mincha, Amar Rav Yehuda, you know, if you look at that word, korban mincha, it actually proves my contention. That minayim omer harei alai minchat ma'afeh. It's not that you could bring part chalos and part rekikin, because the Torah, why does it call it a korban mincha? I mean, we know it's a mincha, but the point is, korban is to tell me there's only one korban here. There's not two different pieces inside of that korban. So it's not that you actually can bring different types of things in this mincha. And therefore, you got to bring either which one you want. You could bring chalot or rikikin, but you can't start mixing and matching. Omar lo Rabbi Shimon, if anything, it's the exact opposite. Because does the Torah say korban, korban two times? And each time it says korban minchat tanur? No, it mentions one korban. So if there's only one korban, which is called a minchat ma'afeh tanur, and it goes out of its way to call that a korban, which is rather obvious. So since halo lo nemar ela korban echad, and in that korban echad, it offers you these options. Chalot, rekikin. Well, if they both are the same korban, then why can't I mix and match? Me'ata, so then it follows, doesn't it? That if you want to bring chalot entirely, that's fine. And if you want to bring rikikin entirely, that's also fine. But so too, if you want to split them, merza chalot u'merza rikikin, you could do that too, because that's exactly why we stress korban. The exact opposite of what you're saying is that there's only one korban here, and however it's constituted is optional. And what would you do in terms of the kmitza, if you've got partial chalot and partial rikikin? Well, you would mix them together, and you would take a kometz out of both of them, because anyway, you're going to be doing petita, and you're going to be breaking them up into little pieces, and therefore, when you do your kmitza, your whatever it is, and if you do the kmitza, va'ala biyado me'achad ashrayim, and somehow or other, a strange event happens, and Maxell doesn't work, and instead we get this devilish figure coming in that sticks only one type in your hand or the other. That's fine. You would be Yotze. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, minayin lo Omer, hare alai minchat ma'afe. So, what if a person says, this is actually Rabbi Yehuda's shita, it sounds like, and this is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's son, and he seems to merely be repeating his father's shita, that minayin lo Omer, now here it brings it from another mocker. V'chol mincha asher te'afe batanur, v'chol na'aseh v'amarcheshet v'amachavat la'kohen amakriv ota lo tiye, v'chol mincha v'lulav ha'shemen v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aharon tiye. So what's the point of this pasuk? Take a look at the repetitive v'chol, okay? V'chol, that it says at the end, v'chol mincha b'lulav ha'shemen v'chareva. Okay, so one of them is, if it's chareva, it's referring to a minchas chote. Now, that means that there's two very, very different type of menachas that are being mentioned over here. One is without shemen and lavona, and one is with shemen, right? And it's called, we put it together, in sets. So there's a set of v'chol. Now, the set of v'chol at the end is referring to unique minachot. They're not variations on a theme. You can't get more different than a chareva and a blula, right? And we make that one of the sets. So that is telling you what kind of sets we're dealing with over here. We're dealing with sets of unique minachot. And in the same way that the latter set is a kol that is referring to shnei minim chalukim, so too the word v'chol, which is also the name of the first set, which is a omer lamala, it's the same type of set. So we've got to talk about the sets of which sets. So here is a set of the sets of separate types of menachos that the Torah is making, and therefore it teaches you, and this is reviewed as shita, but it's a completely new way of deriving the shita, right? So the two minchot ma'afet tanur are actually different, and they cannot be mixed and matched the way that Rabbi Shimon is dining. Okay, so you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that was his father, and Rabbi Yehuda said, look, it says korban, and so this would mean a korban echad, v'lo shnayim v'shlosha korbanot, right? Rabbi Shimon says, no, Adarabba says korban, because they're all the same korban. That's exactly the point. So now, let's first discuss the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, I mean, isn't Rabbi Shimon right? I mean, if the Torah calls these variants a single korban, so it seems...
Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Men.
What?
Rabbi meant Rabbi Yehuda's right.
No. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, isn't Rabbi Shimon right? So Shabbat Kama, Rabbi Shimon. That's a very good point. What would Rabbi Yehuda say to that? I mean, it seems to be the opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda taught. Omar Lach, Rabbi Yehuda would say, look, it says separately, as far as his issue is concerned, that it must be it's all one type of korban. Now, that would be true. I would have agreed to that, except for the fact that Lamaisa, the Torah utilizes the word shemen in different ways, twice. So, v'chitakriv korban mincha ma'afe tanur solet chalot matzot belulot ba'shemen. Now, look at this. Urekike matzot meshuchin ba'shemen. Now, why in the world would we say ba'shemen twice? If we're talking basically about the same korban, what should it have said? Chalot matzot belulot urekike matzot meshuchin ba'shemen, referring back to the two parts of the single type of korban. But by going out of your way and separating out the bashemen, bashemen, you're telling me that these are essentially different karbanas. And therefore, what is the meaning of utilizing that single word karban to tell me that each one of these karbanas needs to be uniquely constituted by one min or the other, either chalot or rekikin? And Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with the Taina of indeed the repetitive Bashemen Bashemen, which seems to separate them into very different types of korbanos? Says Rabbi Shimon, well, of course it says Bashemen Bashemen. What would you think if it hadn't said Bashemen Bashemen? So then I would have thought that, you know what? You have to bring these two things. If I'm telling you it's one mincha, right? One korban mincha. And then I tell you to bring these two items, namely chalot matzot and rikike matzot. Well, what's your conclusion? That you have to bring these two things in order to be, I would say, this one korban, no? So you'd have to bring 50-50. Half of them would be the chalot, and half of them would be the rikikin, because, I mean, after all, there's only one shemen that's mentioned on both levels of these ingredients, the way that they're formed. So I would have said, you're mechuyev b'davka, mechzer chalos, u'mechzer rikikin. But if you wanted to make an optional milchas ma'afed that's entirely the chalot or entirely rikikin, that wouldn't be kosher. Emolo. Therefore, by separating shemen, you're telling me, look, these are two separate things. You could bring shemen in chalot. You could bring shemen in rikikin. But by making it clear that this is all one carbon, you're also telling me, and you can mix and match. It's certainly not mechuyev to bring half and half. Okay, now that's very beautiful. Now let's think about the difference between Rabbi Yehuda, the father, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the son, because, I mean, they end up saying the same thing. They're both saying that the chalot and rikikin are two completely different korbanos, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's called a korban mincha, which means that it has to have one set of ingredients, either chalot or rikikin. And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's got this, his son, it's got this complicated lima that examines the list of the various sets of korban menachos that are given to the kohanim. Is there an afkamina between the two shitas? Yes, says the Gemara. It's not the same at all. The afkamina is, if it was done b'de'avad, you did it. So now, what would be the halacha? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's not the correct way to bring the mincha, but if you did it, it would be kosher. As the Torah said, bring one korban. Okay, so fine. It doesn't mean that it's possible if you did it some other way. Where does it repeat it that it should be possible? Masha Inkain, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the son, who says that we learn it out from the way that the Torah separates it out, so then in the same way that the second grouping, the second set, was minchat chareva and b'ulav ha-shemen. That is ma'akev, even b'di'avad. You can't put on shemen into a minchas chareva, which is a minchas chote, and expect it to be kosher, right? And vice versa. So therefore, according to him, the mocker of the limud in the Torah, in the sets that the Torah actually puts down, is gufa telling me that it would be posel b'di'avad. And that would be the big difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda himself, and serves as an introduction to today's operatic conclusion of Perek Kol HaMinachot Hadrachalon Kol HaMinachot
Bli Neder Fountain Heilige Perek.
Lovely, lovely. I can tell you, Doc would be very jealous today. But he had some serious clinic work. Well, sometimes it's better to avoid jealousies. I mean, after all, we daven for that. Lo ve'alekinat adam alai. So, Richie, looks like your tefillas were nitkablu. Okay, let's get into the dinim of the korbanos that are coming up in the next few weeks. And therefore, let's start with the omer. So, right there on that second day of Pesach, we're going to have to bring the Korban Omer. Good to prepare. So Rabbi Ishmael Omer. So what's the halacha if it falls out on Shabbos, the day of the Hakravas HaOmer? So Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Omer Hayaba b'Shabbat mishalosh sa'in. Actually, if it comes out on Shabbos, you want to cut less than you would during the week in order to avoid the additional chilul Shabbos. So you take only three sa'ah, and if you sift it over and over and over again, you would have, actually, you finally get your isaron of extremely fine solet. Isaron is, of course, as the word indicates, is a tenth. It's a tenth of an epha, and the epha was shalosh sa'in. So basically, you take the barley, and barley is a difficult grain to sift compared to wheat, so the barley, which was originally an epha, is now sifted until it equals actually a tenth of itself. An isaron, a tenth out of an epha. So you break it down to 10% by doing a lot of sifting. Now, there's easier ways to do that. You could cut a lot of barley, and then you wouldn't have to do that much sifting because the initial sifting allows only the very finest to come through at the beginning, and therefore you'd be able to do a lot less sifting and still get a very nice solet, or geresh, which is the equivalent of solet when it comes to barley. So therefore, apparently Rabbi Shmuel holds it would be better to sift more than to cut more. So that if it wasn't Shabbos, then Bechol, you would have used Chamesh Sa'im, you would have preferred to use the five Sa', because the little tiny bit that comes out right at the beginning is usually the best, and you don't have to keep going over and over until you can get out the last little bits that were hidden inside. So you would use, on a weekday, you would use five Sa' instead of three. Fine. No, makes no difference whether it's Shabbos or whether it's Chol. You use three. Rabbi Hanina Sigana Kohanim Omer. Rabbi Hanina Sigana Kohanim Omer. B'Shabbat, Hayanik Tzar B'Yachid. There's other differences. If you're doing it on Shabbos, you don't want a lot of people to be Mechalel Shabbos. So you have one person doing the Ktzira, and he uses one Magal. Why would we even mention? I mean, obviously, he uses one Magal, because we're going to see that the point is that since the Baitusim didn't agree with the whole Halacha of Mimochorat HaShabbat, meaning to bring the Omer on Metzoy Pesach, and they said, no, yeah, you would be Mechal Shabbos. If tonight is Shabbos, so then it's not Mochorat HaShabbos, stupid. So then you bring it tomorrow, which would be Mimochorat HaShabbos. So in order to take out the Hotzimi Libam Shobaitusim, as we'll see, we used to Bedavka, have three people, and they would say, hey, Joe, is today Shabbos? Yeah, today's Shabbos. And is this a Magal, which is Usra Shabbos? It sure as heck is, Joe. And so should we go ahead and cut it? Absolutely, go ahead and cut it. So this would drive them crazy. About this. Anyway, so we bedafka went out of our way to get more Chilul Shabbos, right? So Rabbi Hanina's Ganakonim says that, no, we would do that B'chol, when it wasn't the Mochorat HaShabbat, but the idea would be on Shabbos, we would actually want to use the three. But Reb Chanina's Gana Kohanim says, no, let's not overdo it. B'Shabbat, we would use one person with one Magal, and we would put it into one kupa to be mumayit as much as possible the Chilul Shabbos. If it was during the week, and it wasn't a Mochorat HaShabbos, we wanted to stick it to them, so then we would say we would need more pirsum. So then we would have three people, and it was put into three baskets, and we would use shalosh magalot, and that would be to make it clear that Mimokhrot Shabbat does not mean on a Sunday, it means on the day after Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. And that would be the difference between Shabbos and Chol. Mashen came, the Chachomim say, no, we're not Mamayat in the Chol Shabbos. In Echad Shabbat, the Echad Chol B'Shlosha, B'Shalosh Kupot, U'B'Shalosh Magalot, and we make the same point in the Baitusim, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's Chol. So we'll talk about the issues in the Gemara. So now, Bishlam the Rabbanan. I understand the Rabbanan, I mean, they're being consistent. If they say you always use Shlosh Asoy, okay, so then they obviously hold that you can get your Shlosh Soyin, can yield you an Isaron Mufchar of the highest quality of the barley flour, and that would be fine from three Sayim. So what's the difference, whether it's Chol, Lo Shana B'Chol, V'Lo Shana B'Shabbat? But Rabbi Shmuel doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would there be a difference between Chol and Shabbat? I mean, if you need an Isaron of fine flour, so what does he hold? Does he hold Ikasavar Isaron Mufar Loati Alamichamesh, that you'd have to go through five saw to get the highest quality of the Isaron? So then you should have to do that on Shabbos. I mean, your chiyuv is to bring mufchar. If this is not the mufchar, why am I bringing it? And if he holds that it's possible to get it from three, fine. So then get it from three even during the week. But why is it a difference between Shabbat and Chol? Omar Rava, Rabbi Yishmael holds that an Isaron mufchar can be easily brought from five of these saw. If you have five saw, you don't have to go through many, many times of sifting in order to get five beautiful, one Isaron of beautiful flour. But if you only have three, you would have to do a heck of a lot more work because you would need finer and finer sieves and so on. And you would have to put it through again and again. But the Maisa, we're going to see later on that they always used Yud Gimel. That was the number of sieves it went through. But the point is, you would have to go it through again and again before you could move on to the next level of fineness. So because of that, the Machlokas over here is the question of what to do on Shabbos. Is it more Kedai to do more malachas, or is it more kedai to do the same malacha? Now, this already is a completely different issue. So if you're going to put in a lot of work, you can get that quality from three. So because of that, b'chol, maitinan mi'chamesh, t'hachash mi'chamilta, this is the best that you could do, and therefore, it's the best way to do it. But on Shabbos, he holds, mutav shi'arbe b'melacha achat. It's better to add one, well, you're doing the malacha of harkada anyway, right? So you're going to be sifting. Okay, so that's a given. You cannot actually prepare this without sifting. So do more sifting. Masha Aimkin, if you're going to tell me I need five, forget about sifting, good heavens. I'm going to have to do like a whole list of Malachas. I'm going to have to do Kitzira, and I'm going to have to winnow it, and I'm going to have to crush it, and I'm going to have to go through like all of the Malachas until I finally get up to Harkada. So it's better to do less number of Malachas and to do the Malacha that I'm going to be doing anyway, just do more of. And we have a similar Machlokas when it comes to a question of Hafshatata Pesach. Take a look at this Machloka. Tell me whether it doesn't sound the same as Rabbi Shmuel Shita, to try to be Mamayit as much as possible in the Malachot that you're going to be doing on Shabbos. So I think that our Rabbi Shmuel, who is not Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but Lamaisa, there's a Shita of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that actually seems to be following the same idea. And both of them said the same thing, because we know when we had a Pesachim, so we had a Braita that taught us like this. Say if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, Mafshit et haPesach ad haChazeh, you only take off the skin as much as you need to in order to get out the emur. Because look, hafshata is a malacha on Shabbos. If you don't need to take off the entire skin, why would you do more hafshata than necessary? So do the hafshata up to and only up to the breast of the animal from the legs down, and that way you're able to get to the diaphragm and to the liver and all of the parts that you need to get to, and therefore there's no need to do any kind of further removal of the skin. So says Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. The Chachamim omrim, nonsense. You're doing hafshata, then you do the entire hafshata. Now, obviously, if it weren't for it being Shabbos, of course we would do the entire hafshata. But over here, we're doing things in a way that avoids the anything but the absolutely necessary chilul Shabbos. So, isn't it the same idea? Milo Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Hasam. But what is the words of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, that whatever you could do to avoid additional work on Shabbos? We're not going to do extra work on Shabbos if we don't need to. So, okay, that's what Rabbi Shmuel said over here. We should not do the extra malacha that would be involved in getting five saw in order to get the solat. Well, I don't understand. Well, I don't see it has anything to do with each other. What was Rabbi Shmuel saying over here? I mean, the cases are very, very different. To talk about Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, involves a completely different issue. Surely you understand that it is not very respectful to have a hafshata stop in the middle. Now, it looks like a nevela. Then we got this carcass, which is a skin hanging from it, and that's where you take out the emurim for the mizbeach. Blech, blech, blech. Don't like it one bit. I mean, that's a completely different issue. And we don't have any other issues here about bizayon kachim. So, Dilmat kam lo kam Rabbi Shmuel ha'ocha. Rabbi Shmuel said, look, you're going to get a high-quality solet. It's good enough, and therefore better to only use the three sign. If you're telling me, would I agree that on Erev Pesach you should leave the skin hanging? Maybe not. Why would you think that Rabbi Shmuel would necessarily agree that you should leave it half hanging and half not? So maybe in such a case, or I could say the opposite also. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, he was saying, look, did you do whatever you needed to do to get there? Let's forget about external issues, such as whether you hold this bizayon kachim. The question is, the Torah said, in order to bring this carbon, you're mechal Shabbos. Did you do what you need to do in order to bring this carbon? Just answer me yes or no and stop giving me mussar. Yes, you can get out all of the emurim, fine. Then that's basically what it is that you do. I did whatever I need to do. Shalot tzarech achule shabbat. Over here, you agree that basically I can do a better job if I take chamisha, right, instead of shlosha. Okay, so I wouldn't say that we should make the slightest kind of compromise. You're saying that I want to go very easy on the chilul Shabbos. That's not the point. I want to go easy on the chilul Shabbos where it's...
Did everybody else just fade out also?
Yeah, no audio, Rebbe.
Okay, now, how about now? Okay, so therefore, it has nothing to do with it. I am not hard on chilul Shabbos. I am soft on tzarech gavoah. That's the whole point. So I'm saying, if Rabbi Shmuel agrees you do a better job by having the chamisha, you just have a good enough job of having solas by doing more in shlosha, I say, do the job as best you can. So hocha, we're lo yisavid leit tzarech gavoah. You didn't do whatever you could do, and you need to be mechal Shabbos to get the tzarech gavoah. So I would agree, possibly. I mean, we don't know. You're making a comparison without really knowing what the shitas are in the other cases of Rabbi Shmuel or of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So that was a mistake. It's not that Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, let's not let the names in common confuse you. You want to know somebody who does have a shita that's similar? Yes, there is a shita that's similar. And this is what actual Rabbi had said, that Rabbi Shmuel said something that matches what Rabbi Hanina Sganakohanim said. Yes, that yes. It's not. Rabbi Hanina Sganakohanim Omer. B'Shabbat, we're talking about the Ketzira here of the Omer. So B'Shabbat, Niktzar B'Yochid B'Magal Echad U'B'Kupa Achat. Right? So we just learned. And B'Chol B'Shlosha B'Shalosh Kupat U'B'Shalosh Magalot. And the Chachomim say Echad Shabbat V'Echad Chol B'Shalosh Kupot U'B'Shalosh Magalot. So what's the logic of Rabbi Hanina Sganakohanim? His logic is, look, it's possible to get all of the Omer to be done by one person, and therefore, why should we have more chilul? Sekivan de efsher lo tarchina. So it's true that it would be mutter midiraisa, and it would be useful in terms of making a point kineged by tusim, but we do what we need to do with as little chilul Shabbos as possible. So if that's the case, you're right. Over here, Rabbi Shmuel says the same thing. You're right. We can have the results with five and so on. But we can also have a nice Omer with three. So kiven de efsher lo tarchinan. No, I don't see that it follows. Come on. Dilma at kan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hacha. The point that Rabbi Shmuel was talking about three and five did not address the need for the public expression of how crazy these baitusim are. Now, you're measuring a completely different issue. That chiv that we have to see to it that the Torah Shabbat is respected and we understand that the real meaning of Mimochrata Shabbat is the way that Chazal were mekabo, that this is the Mimochrata Shabbat, is the Shabbat of Pesach, which you will recall is, as the Rambam says, even the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Shenemar Zechoras Yom HaShabbat. Same way it says Zechoras Yom HaShabbat, that's the meaning of the Zechira Esher of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it would have to be with like Kiddush and saying it Pepeh and so on. So therefore, you're comparing apples and oranges. Dilma Ad Kan Mokam Rabbi Shmuel Hacha, because he didn't need to deal with the need for the publicity. So the leka pursuing milta, avahata mashenkeim, where we're dealing with a completely different question as to whether it's kedai for us to do the publicity on Shabbat as well, and we have that chiyuv of pursuing milta, which would mean we want to have more.
I lost you again, Rabbi.
Hello, hello, hello. Okay, so in
you missed a few seconds here and there.
Right. So in that case, it could very well be where we have this chiyuv of publicity. Maybe Kerabonet Sfirle, that the publicity is essential. Or you could say just the opposite, but maybe Rabbi Hanina Sganakohanim said, look, I'm not going to just for the sake of publicity.
What about the Hafsakos? Gives us a chance to contemplate.
Who is talking over here in the middle? So if... telling you now I got two barneas on my tail. So since over here, if you're talking about the Tzorach Gavoah, okay, that's a different issue. Whether you're using one person or you're using three people, you're getting exactly the same results when it comes to the Tzorach Gavoah. Okay, so Bashenken over here, where you don't really get the same results. You have good enough results, but you don't get the same results. So maybe, hocha, that's not called isavik yilchatak tzorach gavoah. You didn't do the absolute best that you could have. Maybe Rabbi Hanina Sganakohanim would agree with the Rabbanan that you should actually have more, and you should take chamisha sayim. And therefore, this is not a good comparison with the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue our search where, for some reason, we want to find what the similar issues. Of course, it's a great excuse to be able to understand the relative importance of the different issues of the extent of Tzorach Gavoah, of the extent of the Chilul Shabbos, of what the Chiyuvim are in terms of Bizoyin of Kodshim, and what the Chiyuvim are in terms of the Prisomet, of the Kavod Gavoya, all to be discussed, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.